Yes, move up, move up, move up. We'll get your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, Piyari Prabhu, till when should I speak? As long as I want, in other words. I'm not going to talk for 2 hours. Don't worry. Okay. Om Gyanatimi Nantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shadrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayeva Cha Padita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for coming. And let's begin with an auspicious cell phone check. If you can check your cell phones to see that they're either off or in silent mode, that would be appreciated. So today is the auspicious appearance day of Lord Balaram, Baladev Purnima, full moon. Lord Balaram is described or mentioned in the Brahma Sangita in the second verse. Sahasrapatra Kamalam Gokulakyam Mahatpadam Tatkarnikaram Taddhama Tadanantangsha Sambhavam. This is, that all right? A description of Goloka Vrindavan, the abode of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yadgatva Nanivartante Taddhama Paramam Mama. Yes, Nashanka Napavaka. What's the beginning? Oh. Hmm. That's funny. Anyway. No. Na shashanko na pavaka yadgatva na nivartante tadhama paramamama. What's the beginning? First line. Surya. Funny. All of a sudden that line is gone. Meaning is the place where there's no need of sunshine and no need of electricity or fire. And that place from which, having gone, one never returns. That's the supreme abode of the Lord. So that Goloka Vrindavan, so Krishna is a person, and he has his abode, Goloka Namni Nijadamni Tale Chatasya. It's not something imaginary, just as there's material geography, America, India, China, Europe. So there's spiritual geography also. Goloka Namni Nijadamni Tale Chatasya. Devi Mahesha Hari Dhamma Shute Shute Shu Te Te Prabhava Nichaya Vihatas Chayena Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Dhami Yada Dityagatam Tejo. That's the first line. Thank you. Anasha Shankar Nupavaka. So the highest abode is Goloka Vrindavan. Then beneath that is Vaikuntha Dham. Vaikuntha Dham is the place where Krishna is in charge as Narayan, as the supreme majestic aspect of Godhead. And there he is worshipped with great awe and reverence as King of Kings. There are so many Vaikuntha planets. Oh, you don't want to sit for a lecture? I don't blame you. That's okay. So the Vaikuntha planets, there Lord Narayan is in charge. Then below Vaikuntha Loka is the abode of Lord Shiva. Goloka Namni Nijadamni Tule Chitashri Devi Maheshtam. Maheshtam is the abode of Lord Shiva. It's not exactly in Vaikuntha and it's not exactly in the material world. Lord Shiva has his own special abode because he's not one of the ordinary living entities like us. But he's not quite on the same level as Narayan either. The example is given that as milk, when it comes in touch with some sour substance, becomes curd, yogurt. So it's still milk, but it's not quite the same as the original milk. So Lord Shiva is like that in relationship to Lord Narayan. He's almost in the same position as Narayan, but he's in a special position because of material contact. Why? There's probably some place where she can play, no? She'll be more happy. There we go. Yeah, let her play and be happy. And I think there's sound out there too, isn't there? Okay. I hate inflicting unhappiness on children. And lectures are unhappiness. And they reciprocate, of course. They inflict unhappiness on me, but we won't talk about that very much. We're trying to make it look altruistic here. Okay. Then beneath, so Lord Shiva's abode is special because he's neither Vishnu nor an ordinary living entity. Then below that is Devidham. Devidham is the material world, which is the realm of Durga, the goddess Durga, Devi, where everyone is subject to the laws of material nature. So this is all greater geography than we learn. It would be good if in the schools they'd learn this geography and not just the ordinary five continents geography. And this is vertical geography. And better than the just Venus, Pluto, what is the use? This is spiritual geography. The most important place is the abode of Krishna. But that can't be seen by telescopes or radio telescopes or any mundane instruments. We have to see it by hearing about it through the Sampradaya system. So here from Brahma Sangita, Tadanantangsha Sambhava. Ananta means Lord Balaram. And it's understood here that the entire cosmos, both the spiritual cosmos and the material cosmos, are maintained by the energy of Lord Balaram. That's expressed in the purport by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in very elevated language. Let's see what he says here. The transcendental entity of Baladev has two aspects, vis-a-vis infinite spiritual manifestation and infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things. The uniquadrantal delineation of material universe will be dealt with in the proper place. The triquadrantal extensions of the transcendental infinitary field of the Almighty, unlamenting, non-perishing, and non-apprehending, unlimited situations of halo, which are fully spiritual, majestic foliation. Got that? It's, Prabhupada said that his spiritual master used to speak in such elevated language. Prabhupada said even when he would speak in Bengali, I could not understand. He said, but I liked to hear, that's all. Hare Krishna. So, the description given here, Sahasrapatra Kamalam Gokulakyam Mahatpadam. Mahatpadam means the great abode of the Lord. It is like a lotus flower, Kamala, Sahasrapatra, having 1,000 petals. Goloka Vrindavan, you know, we have these ordinary planets like Earth, which are just balls. But Goloka Vrindavan is aesthetically very wonderful. It's shaped like a kamal, like a lotus flower. And elsewhere it's described that it's infinite. No one can measure. You know, we can say how many square miles America occupies. But Goloka Vrindavan is immeasurable. You just can't, no one can calculate how big it is. It has no limits. In fact, it's said to be all-pervading. It's everywhere. And yet, it's said to be triquadrantal. What that means, basically, is three-quarters. It's three-quarters of the universe, or of the total existence, is represented by the spiritual sky, and one-quarter by the material sky. That's uniquadrantal. One-quarter is the material sky. So then someone asks, well, how can you say three-quarters and one-quarter if you can't measure it? And that's true. But this gives us some idea that the material universe is the small part, and the spiritual universe is the vastly larger part. The spiritual universe, apart from being larger, has the quality of being permanent. The material universe is like a shadow. Your hand is permanent, and your shadow comes and the shadow of your hand comes and goes. So the spiritual world is permanently existing, and the material world, like a shadow, sometimes appears and sometimes is unmanifest. So it's kind of the shaky place. It's not substantial. The way the spiritual world is substantial, it's always there. Just like when we invest, we want to invest in something substantial. Substantial investment. You don't want to invest in something insubstantial, something that might be here today and gone tomorrow. Well, the spiritual world is substantial in that sense. It's always existing. And the material world is insubstantial. It's even now, its existence is shaky. Anything that's here today might be gone tomorrow. So the spiritual world is sat, it's eternal. And it's chit, it's blissful. In the material world, things are not very blissful. We're trying to extract some happiness, but bliss is something else again. Or real happiness, anand, is different from what we find in the material world. What we have in the material world is more or less relief. When my troubles are alleviated to some extent, I feel really good. If my back isn't killing me, if I don't have a cold or a fever, if I'm not in an argument with my wife or my boss or my husband, if my money is not being threatened today, and if my kids are not failing in their classes, if things are not going badly, then I feel really good. Some relief. But the spiritual world is positively joyful. Always. Here, if we get some happiness, we're in anxiety about it because we know that it's not going to last. We're going to be able to have it for a short while, and then it's going to be over. So we always have that kind of in the back of our minds, or we always know, if I'm on vacation, I better have a really good time for these 7 days, because it's 8 days from now I have to go back to work. So everything is temporary, and everything is conditionally joyful. Conditionally joyful means mixed, and mixed means not very good. Prabhupada gives the example that if you have sweet rice mixed with sand, and, you know, people say, take the good with the bad. Okay. It's not very joyful. But the spiritual world is absolutely joyful. Absolutely joyful. And full of knowledge also. Here, if we have some happiness, sometimes it's based on illusion. It's based on imagining something which is not real. Usually it's based on imagining something that's not real. I'm imagining that I'm this body, that this is my family, this is my money, this is my this is my that. This is all untrue because I'm not this body. But I'm imagining these things to be true. So the whole material existence is more or less contingent upon illusion. But in the spiritual world, there's full, unfettered knowledge, real knowledge. So that atmosphere, therefore, is different from this atmosphere. That atmosphere is the real, that's the real place. And this is something like a prison. Durga, in fact, another meaning of Durga is fortress or prison. So the material world is the place where we're temporarily imprisoned. And it's like a shadow or a reflection of the spiritual world. Word vamula mata shakam ashvatam yetarutamam. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's compared to an upside down tree. The branches up and the roots, branches down and the roots up. That means it's like a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. But the final point here is that both the spiritual world and the material world are maintained by the energy of Lord Balaram. Nothing is impersonal. Everything has its personal basis. And Lord Balaram, by his energy, maintains everything. The whole accommodating space for material and spiritual existence is manifest by the potency of Lord Balaram. How he does that is beyond our knowing. We know that he has chit shakti, spiritual potency. He has the potency to manifest existence. But how he does it, we don't really know. But he does it. That's called inconceivable potency, achintya shakti. Our power is inconceivable to the ant. The ant can hardly imagine that there are human beings who have the powers that we have. But for us, it's ordinary business. So the same thing is there in Krishna and his expansions. They have unlimited potency, achintya shakti. Well, Lord Balaram is Krishna himself. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that there are one personality of Godhead manifest in two forms. Prabhupada sometimes said the only difference is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. In Krishna's pastimes, the Baladev takes the role of Krishna's elder brother. In other incarnations, he takes different roles. When Krishna appears as Rama, then Baladev appears as Lakshman, younger brother. Similarly, in other incarnations, Krishna is there. When Mahavishnu is there, then Baladev takes which form? Sheshanag. We've all seen the how the Sheshanag is serving as the couch of the Mahavishnu or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Also, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying in the ocean, Garbhadak ocean, and the Lord is lying down with the lotus appearing from his navel, Padmanab. In Kerala, the temple is there, Ananta Padmanab. Who's seen in Tiruvananthapuram? Has anyone seen? There's a what used to be called Trivandrum in Kerala has been renamed some years ago as Tiruvananthapuram, which is the actual name. Tiru means like Sri in the South Indian language. Just Tirupati, so Tiruvananthapuram. Tiru means Sri, and Anantapur, the place of Ananta. So Ananta is, again, another name of Lord Balaram. And Ananta Padmanabh, the deity there is very big. You know, you've seen probably in some of our ISKCON temples, we have three altars, one for Guru Gauranga, one for Mm, Lord Radha Krishna, another for Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, or sometimes Krishna Balaram and Radha Krishna. So like that, three altars. So in Tiruvananthapuram also, at the temple of Ananta Padmanabh, they have three big doors. But each door, you looking through each door, you can see one part of the deity. The deity is so big. He's Lord Vishnu lying down. And he's so big that you'll see his lotus feet through one door. You'll see the middle portion of his body through the next door. You'll see his head from the third door. Very big deity. And he's lying on the Sheshanag. So the Sheshanag is also Balaram, taking the form of the couch for the Lord with his hoods. He's the umbrella for the Lord. He provides slippers for the Lord, everything for the Lord. That's, although he's the Lord himself, he serves the Lord in this form as Ananta. And in the Krishna Lila, Krishna and Balaram are brothers, especially in Vrindavan. They're playing as cowherd boys, and Balaram is a little older, so he's responsible for looking after Krishna. That's part of his duty. And they're enjoying with their cowherd friends. They're enjoying with their cowherd friends. Herding cows and playing in the pastures or in Govardhan Hill or by the Jamuna. Krishna and Balaram are enjoying in this way. The Balaram, sometimes it's mentioned in Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna was glorifying Balaram and saying that all of these trees are bowing down to touch your lotus feet, and the bees and birds are all great sages and they're chanting your glories. So in this way he was praising Lord Balaram, and that's a fact also that Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as much as Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Hare Krishna mantra, this Rama can also be understood to mean Balaram. Or it can be understood to mean Krishna, because Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. Or it can be understood to mean Lord Ramchandra also. People sometimes say that you're only chanting Krishna, what about Lord Ram? So Lord Ramchandra's name is also there, and you can take it either way, any of these ways, Krishna or Balaram or Ramchandra, because there's no difference. Advaitam achutam anadim ananta rupam. In the material world, I'm different from you, you're different from me. And in the spiritual world, there are individual persons, the devotees are there, the Lord is there. But the Lord has the ability to expand himself in many different forms. And all of those forms are still the same person. Prabhupada gives the example that yogis can do that also. There's some yogis who can be in two places at once, actually, by mystic power. They can be in three places at once. They can be up to 8 or 9 places at once by mystic power. But these expansions are limited in what they can do. Prabhupada said they're like television expansions. If you see somebody on television, so when he raises his hand on one set, he's raising his hands on all the other sets too. They're all doing the same thing. So the yogis can expand like that. But Krishna can expand in such a way that all of his forms can act independently. When he was a king in Dwarka, he married 16,108 queens. And in each queen had a palace. And in each palace, he's living with the queen and doing something else. When Narad Muni went to visit Krishna, he saw that in each palace, Krishna has some different pastime. Some place he's playing chess, somewhere he's conferring with his advisors, some place he's swimming, some place he's... Each place he was doing something completely different. So Narad Muni was astonished. As a yogi, he knew the trick, how to expand in one or two or eight forms. But when he saw that Krishna was in so many palaces with so many queens and in each palace doing something different, he was thoroughly astonished. So that's one kind of expansion of Krishna, the expansion where they're all identical. All of these husbands of the queens, they all look the same, they're all identical expansions. In fact, they come out of the palace in the morning, Krishna performs his morning duties, and then to go to the assembly house, he walks out of all the palaces, becomes one Krishna, and goes to attend the affairs in the assembly house. Similarly, when Krishna is performing the Rasa-lila, all of the Krishnas are identical. As many gopis as there are in the dance, there are that many Krishnas. And each gopi is thinking that Krishna is with me only. They're all thinking that way. Krishna is dancing with me. So they're all identical expansions. That's one way that Krishna expands. And then another way is where there's some difference. So this Balaram, he's also identically Krishna, but in his appearance, he's a little different. Krishna is black, Balaram is white. Distinction is there. And still, they're the same Krishna. Balaram expands himself as the Narayan. Narayan expands himself as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, Niruddha, these four-armed expansions of the Lord. And although they're also appearing different because of having four arms with Shankarchakra, Gadapadma, they're also the same Krishna. It's not that there are so many different Krishnas. All of those Krishnas who are dancing in the dance, they're the same Krishna. Krishna and Balaram are the same Krishna. Krishna and the Narayan forms are the same Krishna. Krishna and Lord Ramchandra, Krishna and Nrisimha, Krishna and Varaha, Krishna and Kurma, Krishna and Vamandev, they're all the same Krishna. Advaita. Advaita means that God is one. There's no duality. Eka Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. He's one, but he's appearing in many forms, just like a ring. I used to have a ring with a jewel, and when you look at it in one light, it's one color. When you look at it in another light, it's another color. But it's the same ring. So Krishna's like that. He sometimes appears one way, sometimes appears another way, but he's the same Krishna. Or like an actor in a dramatic, they have those repertory companies where the same actor, you know, sometimes he's Hamlet, sometimes he's King Lear, sometimes he's King Richard, sometimes he's Polonius, sometimes he's this, sometimes she's Ophelia, sometimes she's Gertrude, sometimes she's Lady Macbeth. The same person, but appearing in different roles, but the same person. So the same Krishna, he's appearing in different roles. Sometimes he's playing as half lion, half man. Sometimes he's playing as a king. Sometimes he's playing as a sage. Sometimes he's playing this way, sometimes that way. But he's the same Krishna. So in Vrindavan, the same Krishna is playing as two different people. Krishna and Balaram. This is called fun. To have two forms. And we sometimes get lonely, but if we could be two people, then we could have a conversation and we could do things together and we can have a lot of fun. So Krishna, without having to depend on anyone else, he can be two people, he can be three people, he can be 10 people. So Krishna and Balaram, these two brothers, they're actually one person, but they're enjoying as two in two different roles. And sometimes they're disagreeing with themselves also. When Krishna was in Dwarka, or in Hastinapur, there was a difference of opinion. Krishna wanted Subhadra, younger sister, to marry Arjun. And Baladev, the older brother, wanted her to marry Duryodhana. This is another difference, that Krishna is on the side of the Pandavas, Balaram's on the side of the Kauravas. Because Duryodhana was his disciple for club fighting. So Balaram is favoring the Kauravas, and Krishna is favoring the Pandavas. So because Balaram is the older brother, the older brother's wishes have to be respected. So that means the girl has to marry Duryodhana. But that's not very good. So then Krishna has to do something tricky. So he makes some arrangement that, my dear Arjun, you just kidnap the girl and I'll see to everything else. So Balaram became very angry. Actually, there had been some trick. Arjun had disguised himself for some time as a sannyasi. And anyway, finally he kidnapped her. And Balaram was so angry. But Krishna calmed him down. But please, don't do anything. Just accept it. And Balaram agreed, all right. So this is another kind of taste that Krishna's in disagreement with himself. Yeah. Of course, we disagree with ourselves, but that's called schizophrenia. But Krishna, or sometimes we have that multiple personality disorder. Person actually thinks he's two different people. So this is something like a person, a perverted reflection. When Krishna wants to be two different people, he actually becomes two different people. And then it's not a disorder, it's enjoyment. And he can be on both sides. He's enjoying that taste. When Krishna married Rukmini, then her brother objected, Rukmini, he offered a fight to Krishna, that you've stolen my sister, so I'm going to challenge you. But Krishna defeated him, defeated him. And then just to humiliate him, Krishna, of course, usually in such fights, the opposite party is simply done in. But after all, Rukmini was now his brother-in-law. So he instead tied him up. That's already humiliating. And then clipped off his hair in patches, making him very funny looking. So that's very humiliating, especially for a Kshatriya, like a general, to be tied up by the enemy and then made fun of that way by having his hair clipped off in patches. Very humiliating. So then Balaram came on the scene, and he was telling Krishna, Rukmini was she was a little distressed that her brother has been humiliated this way. But Balaram came, and then on one side he's preaching to Krishna, Krishna, this is not very good. He's our brother-in-law, and you've made him funny looking this way. You've humiliated him. Then he turns around and preaches to Rukmini. Rukmini, why are you lamenting for this nonsense brother of yours? Then he turns around and again he's preaching to Krishna. And then again he's preaching to Rukmini. So this is going on. in the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. In Vrindavan again, sometimes Krishna is in some trouble, just like with the Kaliya serpent. Krishna goes missing. There are ominous signs in the sky, and everyone becomes fearful in Vrindavan. They think something's happened, and then they see Krishna's not there. Then they see that Krishna's footprints are leading toward the poison lake where Kaliya is living. And then they all rush off there, and they see that Krishna's caught in the coils of the serpent, and it appears that he's helpless and he's going to be killed by this venomous multi-headed serpent. So they're all practically ready to give up their lives. Yashoda Mai has to be restrained from rushing into the poison waters to try to rescue Krishna. Some of the Brajbasis are just fainting on the banks of the Jamuna. Everyone is in complete lamentation, except for Balaram. Because Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all-knowing. So he's not in any doubt that what will this water snake do to my brother, Krishna? So he's not in anxiety at all, while everybody else is completely distraught. Similarly, when everyone else was illusioned by the pastime in which Krishna appeared as all the cows and boys, Balaram was also there. But everyone was bewildered because Brahma stole. He was thinking that, what is this Krishna? He's in my universe. Let's see, everybody's making a big deal out of him. Let's see what his capability is. So he stole Krishna's friends and cows and took the boys and the calves off to some hidden place. And then he came back after a moment of his time to see what Krishna was doing. A moment of his time, of course, is a year of our time, because time is relative. So time on the upper planets is different from time on Earth. This relativity theory regarding time was already there in Srimad Bhagavatam a few thousand years before Einstein. So the Brahma knew, I've stolen the cows, but I don't know, let's see what's going on with Krishna. He came back and he saw that all the cows and boys were still there. So it was very confusing for him. I thought I stole them, and now they're here. So then he went back to the cave where he'd hidden them, and he said, no, they're still hidden. But then he came back to where Krishna was. No, they're still here. Is it that when I go there, Krishna brings them there, and then when I come back here, Krishna brings them? He didn't know what was going on. He was bewildered. And the Brajbasis were also bewildered. Krishna knew that Brahma has stolen the boys and calves, so the cows and the mothers of the boys will be very distressed. If I go back to Vrindavan alone without the boys, then that will be terrible. And if I go without the calves, then for the cows it's also terrible. So then he expanded himself. He just took the form of every boy and every calf. Exactly. This is another, we were talking about how Krishna expands. He expands as each of the boys. Generally the boys were devotees of Krishna, and Krishna is Krishna. But now, Krishna was Krishna, and all the boys were also Krishna. And all the calves were also Krishna. So now, it was very unusual that the love, generally, although the calves have their own, cows have their own calves, and the mothers have their own sons, actually they had more love for Krishna than they did for their own offspring. But now suddenly things changed, and they became more affectionate for their own offspring than, or as affectionate as for Krishna. They were showing symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. by embracing their sons, or the cows by licking the calves, they were feeling the same intensity of feeling that they used to feel, that used to feel for Krishna. And there was one incident: the cows and calves were pastured separately, so that the calves don't drink all the milk. So the calves were on the bottom of Govardhan Hill. Krishna and the boys are herding them. The young boys take care of the calves, and the men take care of the cows. So the cows are on the top of the hill. Then all of a sudden, the cows saw their calves and began racing down the hill. It was described, with their legs joined. You know how calves are running. Cows are running. It may seem, if they're really running, that their legs are all together. So they're running like that, running down the hill, and the cowherd men couldn't do anything to stop them, because it was an unstoppable force. So then the cows got to the bottom of the hill, and they began licking their calves, and they were just completely in ecstasy, being with their calves. And the men felt humiliated because they couldn't do anything to stop this. But then when they came down to where the calves and cows were, their sons were there, and they began embracing their sons, and then they felt transcendental ecstasy. So it was completely unusual. And it went on this way for a whole year. Everyone was bewildered. The mothers are thinking these are our sons. The cows are thinking these are our calves. Brahma didn't know what to think. Even with four heads, he didn't know what to think. The only person who got it was Lord Balaram. He said to Krishna, something's going on here. This is not the usual state of affairs. I think that you're doing something with your mystic potency. It must be that you've expanded yourself as all these calves and boys. Oh, Balaram, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could understand. And then Krishna explained the situation. This is what's going on. Brahma has stolen the cows, so I'm expanding myself. Of course, no need to explain. Balaram knows everything anyway. But as a pastime, Krishna is explaining, and Balaram's understanding things. So in this way, they're playing in Vrindavan, and the boys are enjoying the company of both personalities of Godhead. And in Dwarka also, Krishna and Balaram are there as two Kshatriyas. In Mathura also, when they go to kill Kamsa and the wrestlers and so on, that's also a two-man program. Krishna and Balaram are defeating everyone. Mm-hmm. Krishna, Balaram. And then when Krishna comes to the world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again he comes with Balaram. Vrajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Shuto Hai Loshe Balaram Hoi Lo Nitai. That Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the evidence of Shastra, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshana Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Balaram Hoi Lo Nitai. When Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Lord Balaram appears as Nityananda Prabhu. And he extends, they together, it's described as being very unusual, as if the sun and moon were rising together. Taking Bengal, on the horizon of Bengal, the sun and moon are rising together. Generally, the sun is rising, the moon is disappearing. But here, the sun and moon together are appearing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Dinahina yatachilo harinama yutavila. To spread the Sankirtan movement. Lord Nityananda our Lord Balaram is considered the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is also considered the manifest representative of Lord Balaram. So together, Gaura Nittai are Krishna Balaram. There's no difference. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we can get the mercy of Gaura Nittai, Krishna Balaram, and that will make our life successful. All right. Any questions?
It's not that in some occasions that Krishna or Balaram forgets that they are actually the Supreme Persons?
Oh, generally. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't think of himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because then there's no, it's not so much fun. Just as when the president, he has to remember that I'm the president or I'm the prime minister. I have these responsibilities. I have these duties. I have to reciprocate with my subjects or citizens. So many things. But when he goes on vacation, he wants to forget all about that. Doesn't want to receive phone calls, doesn't want to hear from anybody. He wants to be an ordinary person. Even some rich man, he's always, you know, everybody's always treating him special. And he, what does he want? He wants to be treated like an ordinary person. He wants to be treated like an ordinary person. So Krishna, in Vaikuntha, he assumes full powers and full majesty as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vaikuntha, everybody treats Lord Narayan as the supreme, worshipable, greatest person, the king of all kings. With great awe and reverence, they're worshipping him. And he's fully accepting the role of the Supreme Lord of all lords. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna assumes the role of an ordinary boy. And people treat him that way also. When sometimes they divide up into groups, there was one pastime like that also when they were dividing up into groups. That's when the Pralambasura came and he tried to kill Balaram by joining Balaram's group. That's another story. Anyway, they divide up into groups, and sometimes the winning group gets to ride on the shoulders of the losing group. The boys who win, the boys who lose have to carry the winners on their shoulders. So then sometimes Krishna loses, and he has to carry a boy like Sridhama or Sudama on his shoulders. Balaram also, he was winner, so Pralambasura was carrying Balaram on his shoulders. But his idea was to kill this Balaram, and then with Balaram gone, he'll kill Krishna. But Balaram immediately did him in. But anyway, Krishna doesn't have to think about it, that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of this. He forgets. He forgets. How does he forget? By his own potency. We forget who we are because of the external potency. But Krishna, by his own potency, can forget about being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can enjoy as if an ordinary boy. Then he doesn't have to think, yes, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are my subjects. He just thinks in terms of loving dealings. The Brajbasis don't think he's God, so we have to worship him. They just love Krishna. And Krishna, similarly, he just loves the Brajbasis. It's not a formal There's no formality involved. So to reciprocate that way, Krishna actually has to feel it. He doesn't have to, it's not that he thinks, well, actually I'm God, but I'll condescend and pretend. He actually enters that mood. Just like when he's Lord Ramchandra, he doesn't think that actually I'm a coward boy, but because they want to see me as a king, I'll play like a king. He completely enters the mood of being king, of being son of Dasarath and brother of Lakshman and Bharat and Shatrughna and husband of Sita Devi. He absorbs himself in that spirit. So in Goloka Vrindavan also, Krishna absorbs himself in that spirit. In Goloka Vrindavan, similarly, Krishna doesn't have to think about maintaining the material universe. Sometimes children, they imagine that God is up in the sky someplace sitting on a big throne and he's got some strings or wires or push buttons and he's running the affairs of the world. So Krishna in Vrindavan doesn't have to worry about any of that. How is the universe going on? Svabhaviki bala, svabhaviki gana bala kriya cha. His energies are doing everything. And besides, he's expanded himself. The expansion of Balaram, expansion of his expansion becomes the Mahavishnu. And the Purusha avatars, they're doing everything. So Krishna doesn't have to think about all these things. He just has to exchange loving dealings with the Brajavasis. Something else?
Mm-hmm. Along the same lines, it seems from a certain perspective that Lord Ram is,
But Lord Ram has more integrity? Yes, Krishna doesn't have any integrity. Krishna is very tricky. But Lord Ram is Marjada Purushottama. He strictly follows. His father had taken a vow that I'll agree to whatever my benediction my wife wants. And she asked that you exile your son. So then Lord Ramchandra, all right, what is the difficulty? Let me go to the forest. Yeah, he took it as a matter of duty. Even when Bharat came, please come and rule the kingdom. No, I'll come in 14 years. So Marjada Purusha. Marjada Purushottam, he's setting the example of morality. But Krishna is giving a different darshan. He's giving the opportunity for loving dealings even beyond limits. The Lord Ramchandra, Ekapatni Vrata, he took the vow of having one wife. He was so faithful to Sita Devi. And Krishna's playing with so many gopis. Some of them are married to other men also. So that's explained by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that actually there's no question of their being married to anyone. But Krishna's Lila Shakti, his potency for pastimes, creates the illusion that these gopis are married just so that they can violate, Krishna and the gopis can violate the etiquette. Because there's a certain pleasure in love that's so strong that it crosses all limits. When that's actual love, you know, that I would risk my life for you, I would die for you, I would steal for you, I would kill for you, I would do anything for you. Then, all right, that's love. And of course we say all those things, but we wouldn't do any of them, you know. You know, if I'd walk the dog for you, I'm doing no harm. But we say all of these things. But the idea is there that I would do anything for you. And there's a certain, When there's risk in a loving relationship, then the love becomes more relishable. You know, if she has to sneak out of the house to meet him and he has to tell some story to go meet her, then it's more relishable because it's... forbidden. That we're meeting in spite of, you know, our parents don't know and they wouldn't approve, but we love one another so much. Of course, this is all Maya. It's the Maya of the material world. But there's a certain, taking the material idea, there's a certain extra intensity to the love and to the to the loving feelings. So just to enjoy that kind of a taste, in the spiritual world, there's no question of anybody else's wife, because everybody belongs to Krishna. Mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. And everyone's part and parcel of Krishna. Where's the question of Krishna not having the right or Krishna doing... No. So then how will Krishna enjoy these things? All right, then Yoga Maya creates the illusion that these gopis are married, so that Krishna can overstep the illusory boundary to dance with them and meet with them. So, actually, there's nothing unwholesome in Krishna's pastimes. They're completely pure. For that intensity of love, these pastimes are created. And they're disclosed in the material world. But no one should think that they're like the activities here. Nor should one imitate. If one thinks that, no, Krishna's doing this, let me do this also, then he's condemned. That on that theme, that everyone belongs to Krishna, there's a story that one devotee told to me about one of our sannyasis, Mahavishnu Maharaj. He's a very nice Vaishnav, and he's a very elderly person. In spite of his advanced age, he travels and preaches. He's building a temple in Dwarka. He's building a temple in Rajkot, so many things he's doing. So in, I guess it was Dwarka, one big businessman came to see him. And the very big man, you know, one of these big, big guys. So he came to the temple along with his wife and son. And he was, then he came to see Mahavishnu Maharaj. And he said, Maharaj, the deities are so beautiful that when I see them, I get tears in my eyes. And I feel like crying. And Mahavishnu Maharaj said to him, you're a rascal. He said, you're attached to sense gratification, you're having sex with your wife, and you're coming here and pretending to me that you're in ecstasy, that you're crying by seeing the deities. He said, you're a rascal. He said, nothing belongs to you, and you're pretending that it's yours, and you're enjoying Krishna's property. Your wife also belongs to Krishna, and you're pretending that she's yours. You're a nonsense rascal. So strongly he spoke to him. Wife was very happy. I belong to Krishna. She's... So he really chewed him out like that. And the man just, you know, didn't know what to say. He just left. But then later in the day, he came back with his son. He said, bow down to that man. He accepted that actually Mahavishnu Maharaj had gotten his number. And he called it as it was. So it's true that there's no question of anything immoral in the pastimes of Krishna, because Krishna's the owner of everyone and the master of all living beings. So there can't be anything less than... Therefore, tatrasir vijayo bhutir juvanitir matir mama. the last words of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sanjaya says, wherever there's Krishna, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Niti, Niti, there'll be all Niti, all morality. Isn't that okay? Any other question? See, I told you I wasn't going to speak till 8:30. Good, should we stop here? And what's our program?
We'll have an RT, and then we'll have some announcements, a few sponsors, gifts, and then there'll be a feast. And it seems like Lord Balaram has got a really nice feast. So definitely don't want to leave before.
Okay.
What are the similarities between Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda?
What's the similarity between Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda? The first similarity is their identity, that Lord that they're actually Lord Balaram is Lord Nityananda. But Lord Nityananda, Balaram, Rama means pleasure. So Lord Balaram is always in transcendental pleasure. Bala means spiritual strength. So Nityananda Prabhu is always blissful, always joyful. And he's also very strong. Physically, he was very strong. And his mercy is very strong. Therefore, he was able to uplift Jagai Madhai by his causeless mercy. And he acts as guru for uplifting the fallen souls. So, and he serves just as Lord Balaram thinks that actually my duty is to serve Krishna. Lord Nityananda thinks of himself as servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that similarity is there. Although they're equally Krishna, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is in the mood of serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any other thing? Nityananda, eternal pleasure. It's said in the Vedas that without the without Bala, the spiritual strength received from Lord Balaram, no one can attain perfection. Similarly, without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, we need the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu for getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we're chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vaishnavi Gaura Bhakta. It's said if someone accepts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and rejects Lord Nityananda Prabhu, it's like the logic of half a hen. You know, you like the part that lays the eggs, but you don't like the part that eats. That's the logic of half a hen. We have in Western culture, the goose that laid the golden egg, you know, where they liked the goose's eggs, but they didn't like the neck. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Nityananda Prabhu. All right. Thank you all very much. Sri Baladev ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Samavita Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.